This episode of the Everything is Marketing podcast is brought to you by Theraflu, which is the only reason I'm able to do this episode of the Everything is Marketing podcast.
Marketers ruin everything.
Welcome to the Everything is Marketing podcast.
What I don't want to do is to pretend this is show number one.
What would the hero of your life's movie do right now? Do that. Do those things.
Okay, we're back, sort of. I'm not sure for how long. So long story short, Super Bowl Sunday, I got very, very ill. So ill, in fact, that I spent my birthday, which was Monday, Tuesday, and most of Wednesday lying down. I ended up in the emergency room to get IV fluids because that's what kind of brutal flu that I had. I will say, however, that I was treated at Spectrum Health, and they are just top-notch. Every time I have to go there, which is not so often, which is awesome, they are top of the line. I think if I had one complaint, it would be, while I know when you go to the ER that you're planning on staying there for a minute or two, I just wish the TVs would play something a little bit more uplifting other than commercials about how awesome Spectrum Health is, which they are, but I would rather watch something that would keep my mind off the fact that I'm not being treated instantaneously, which is what I know we all wish we could have happen when we get to the ER. I know that that's not a reality. I can tell you, though, that when you get in there, the type of service that you get is top-notch, which is why I continue to go there, and they did not do me wrong. They got me some IV fluids and got me as right as they possibly could, given the fact that it was a flu. That said, the rest of this podcast, I feel a little bit like Katy Perry's Left Shark, so if this goes astray, I apologize. There's lots to cover and so little time. We'll get right on track, I'm guessing, by next week. There'll be one tomorrow that we're going to do from the Michigan International Auto Show, but as of the rest of the week, I don't know if I'll get another one in, and hopefully we'll be right as rain for Monday, February 9th, and we'll be on episode 17 at that point. Okay, so the Super Bowl has come and gone, and as I guess most of us would have guessed, Facebook was kind of a dud with the real-time marketing. Twitter was a killer. I think especially with things like what Audi was doing, which was fact-checking some of their competitors, specifically BMW, with video pieces showing Katie Couric admitting that she actually drives an Audi but is in a commercial for BMW. That sort of stuff is killer. And as we've talked about, that sort of stuff, takes some skill. Like, you've got to have a social media team in place to know that that's what you're going to do and execute at a very high level, which is exactly what they were able to do. As for the halftime show on the YouTube channel, that was okay as well. Not anywhere near as compelling as what I kind of hoped it would be. And I think it's hard to compare, though, to Katy Perry and Sharks that may or may not know what's going on, and Missy Elliott. That's kind of a bit of a thing to compete with. Plus, I really feel that the new format where the artists have some onus in getting into the halftime show makes for a better show. I know that it was a little bit more risque than shows have been in the past, but I also like the fact that the artist has some ownership as opposed to being invited to the Super Bowl. They've got some skin in the game monetarily, and I think that kind of showed on Sunday night, and you add that together with what I thought was a great game. It did not end at all the way that I wanted it to end, but a great game nonetheless. I think you've had a great night of people kind of hanging around the television consuming the commercials. I didn't really have a whole bunch that I thought were standout. The Like a Girl series I really like. Everybody loves puppies and Budweiser. I did think the other Budweiser commercial about that, where all they did was attacked craft beer, was that one fell kind of flat to me. And I don't know that they need to do that. And I'm not sure why they feel the need to do that. I think you could just play the puppy commercial over and over again, and you don't need to do the real men drink real beer thing, because I think most people, myself included, who drink a lot of craft beer, we understand what is going on here and what the game is, and I don't know that that's necessarily the game. They can still be a part of any celebration, trust me, but I don't know that, I think the age of attacking back and forth is kind of gone, in my opinion, but they obviously felt $4.5 million was worth making a commercial that did just that. So who am I to say? That said, I thought the puppy commercial made me want to drink more Budweiser than the one making fun of people who drink craft beer. Which brings us to McDonald's. And I don't know if this is the commercial that made the CEO step down, but it probably should have been. Because paying for French fries with selfies and hugs, I don't know what's going on here. And I got a really, really interesting voicemail from a friend of mine who was talking with somebody else about this commercial and saying, what is going on with this campaign? What are they trying to do? They clearly don't want you to focus on the food in this particular aspect. They want you to focus on the experience of going to McDonald's and the love that it's felt there. And look, I'll be the first one to tell you that as a kid, you do have some genuine moments there. I remember when we would go Christmas shopping, that my parents would take us out for McDonald's as kind of a treat at the end of Christmas shopping or the beginning of Christmas shopping, and it was a fun thing to look forward to. And there are moments in any kid's life where they have their first time that they go to McDonald's and what that's like. And you can talk about the food all you want, but the fact remains there is some Americana and some experientialism when you go to McDonald's for the first time as a kid and kind of experience all of that stuff. So it does exist. I just don't think it exists on a level where I want to pay for my food with selfies and hugs. I do dig their french fries, not that much though. And I think if I was called out in line, I probably would just be like, no, I'll just pay because this seems really weird. So back to the story. So these two people are talking and this other person on the other line, my friend Justin, is talking to a friend of his who's saying, look, I get what they're doing, but I just feel that there are other brands that do that much better. And goes on to tell the story about this Chick-fil-A by them. And I know we don't have Chick-fil-A's here in Michigan, or at least on the west side of Michigan, but where this person was, they have Chick-fil-A's and one in particular. And the people that work at Chick-fil-A go out of their way to not only this person, but we'll use this person as an example, but go out of their way to make this person feel special in so much as they know exactly what this person orders. And when he changes it up, they ask him why he's changing it up. They greet him in the same way. They know when he's coming, essentially. And that adds to an actual genuine experience. Here at home, right outside the MLive offices, there's a Starbucks. And I haven't quite figured this out, but this is what happens. There's a guy, his name is Julian, and he and I go for coffee often. And every time he gets down to essentially the doorway of that Starbucks, they already have his coffee ready, right? That's an experience. And then on the other side, I can't quite figure out how to break that glass bubble and be that person that they've got that coffee ready for. That said, it's still an experience, right? I still go because now I'm trying to figure out, well, how do I get my coffee made before my boots hit the door of your establishment? Because we all pine for that sort of experience when we go for anything, right? When I talked about Bunny Tuxedo and how great their service is, and I had a friend walk up to me and say he's got a tie store down the street that treats him the same way, right? We pine for those experiences, but they can't be fabricated. And I think that's probably why the backlash is coming at McDonald's, because it just feels fabricated. There are some genuine experiences that happen at McDonald's. I don't know that this is one of them. And I think that's why most people felt that ad campaign fell a little bit flat. Okay, I'm not high on energy right now, given the fact that I've been in bed for 3.5 days, so we're going to keep this one kind of short, but I wanted to get back on the train and get more of these podcasts out, because I know that a couple of you have asked already if something had happened to me or if I canceled the podcast. It is not canceled. We're still doing it. I've just been deathly ill, and now I'm not so much. So have a wonderful Thursday. We will talk Friday. Be well, and if you need anything, Polymath and Vine on Twitter, Polymath and Vine on Facebook, and Polymath and Vine. See, it's going downhill already. Polymath and Vine on the web. Have a great day.